Your name?
Justin Rodriguez.
Justin, we're here in McPherson Square at Occupy DC or Occupy K Street. Can you describe this occupation?
Occupation was pretty much in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. After Occupy Wall Street started, a bunch of people in other cities decided to do the same thing with the same principles. Occupy K Street was started by a couple of organizers who had gotten together, decided to do one here. And since Saturday, it started up. Pretty much the main goal is to bring people's attention to how corporations have been controlling and dominating politics, how politics is related to money and not to the collective power of people.
Talk about how does this occupation work? How does it function?
Pretty much, I would say the basis of it would be the people, of course. But we have something called General Assembly, which is a meeting that we have. We have it twice a day. At the General Assembly, everybody comes together to discuss issues. So pretty much big issues. We do committee updates, discuss what type of grievances we would have, discuss what plan we're going to do, what type of actions we're going to do. Also, on top of that, there is the committees. We have a food committee, sanitation committee, a legal committee, and fundraising committee, and a media committee. And the committees help to do the day-to-day activities of it. So I guess if you want to think about it, the General Assembly is kind of like the lawmaking body, and the committees are the ones who actually execute what decisions that were made there.
Which committee are you involved with?
I'm involved with the food committee. Pretty much as the name implies, we're involved in being able to take in donations of food and managing the food, making sure it's out and priced out properly, getting rid of spoiled food, things like that.
And as the population here has exploded in the last days, how have you dealt with that?
It's been pretty hectic. It's been very hard for us to keep up, but now we're doing pretty well. We use the hashtag OccupyDCNeeds. That hashtag has helped us a lot. Every time we put it up, since so many people follow us on Twitter, donations come in automatically for whatever we want. So technically, it's pretty much become like a delivery service now. Also, we do get donations from other people as well. So people come in, exchange their information with us, and access what type of donations we need. If you need water, if you need a warm meal, food, fruit, things like that.
Are you surprised at the growth that has been seen over the last days? I come and just today, right now, there's several hundred people gathered in the park in the first days. What was it like in the first days?
First days were extremely rough. We did have about 24 people in the beginning, which is truly a testament to the organizers who did it. Eventually, over time, it did grow. Pretty much the first night, we had maybe 5 people sleeping outside. Probably 3 nights later, we had about maybe 6. It really got big pretty much 2 nights ago when the police said that we could stay here in the park, which after that, 15 people stayed, and the next day it was about 30, which was yesterday. It has been growing rapidly. People have been hearing about this. We've been getting the message out, so people have been coming down here. People like the message we have here as well. Also, since we're in solidarity with other cities, people from Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Detroit, Occupy Boston, and other cities have come here as well.
One of the things that's been shocking to me, having reported locally for 2 or so years now, is I recognize very few of the people here. This is bringing out folks who I don't think have been active before.
Oh, definitely. There are a lot of people here who have never been involved in activism before or in rallies or anything like that. I mean, really, this is more than just something about activism, more about rallies, about people coming together to try to create a better world, to get a message out. So this people from all walks of life, different political ideologies, people from different religions, different ethnicities. It really is a diverse group on all levels who just came out here. I mean, pretty much people are like, let's put, you know, politics up the older side. Let's come together and do something new.
How did you get involved with this effort?
I actually had heard about it from Occupy Wall Street, because I've been keeping track of that. I know some people up there who had organized it. I was going to go up there myself to go see what was going on, but I heard that Occupy DC had started through Facebook, through Occupy Wall Street. I posted it. After that, I decided to come. I went to the first meeting. I liked what I saw and everything, so then I decided that I myself would just volunteer for the food committee. And since then, I've been involved with them.
Can you talk about, well, I think many people, this is stepping out in the first bit of activism they're doing. You've been active for quite a while. Can you talk about some of the work that you've been doing?
I've been doing activism for some time with an organization called United Community of Earth. We've done some stuff before as the individual members have done things by ourselves. Our organization helps to promote transparency, but we also organize as well. I'm a coordinator, which is an organizer with it. I've worked with the Broadband Bridge, which is a project I've had a small role in. I've also helped some other organizations with their capacity building, helping them to work a little bit better and with the outreach. And sometimes I just do some like logistical work for some other people sometimes. So.
Can you talk a bit about more about your situation? Here you are, a hard worker. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Hardworking, as hardworking as anyone I know, 25-year-old. This country, not a poor country. Yet, I think about, you know, your situation quite often. Think, well, if ever there should be a need to for a country to provide someone with the ability to have a, you know, roof over their head and make a living, it's, you know, for Justin. But talk about your situation.
My situation, been homeless, in and out homeless since I was 19 years old. It's been pretty rough out here. It was actually being on the streets and seeing firsthand how hard things are for people when you know, you don't have all those opportunities or have those entitlements that are given to some people. You end up pretty much out of luck. And that really is what made me want to get into activism, though. It's the whole situation. Right now, I'm in a program, which I can't say because I'm not supposed to be at this here. But program I'm in is working really well. I do have a job through the program. Also, I'm still homeless still, but at least I have this place here to sleep. So that works.
What does it say about the priorities of this country that we just passed the 10th anniversary, the end of the first decade of the war in Afghanistan, the billions spent there, Iraq, and yet hardworking people, as we see huge numbers here today, like yourself, unable to make a living?
I think it really is testament to the priorities of not Americans as a whole, but to our leadership. Unfortunately, now our leadership is really full of politicians and bureaucrats who are easily paid off by a wealthy elite who wants to use their money to dominate. I think it's shown that their policies, their ideologies seem to focus more on how much they can serve themselves as opposed to everybody helping and serving each other. And I think it's sad that so much money has been put into things like military and other things like bailout money and other things like that really only benefit the wealthy, since they're the ones, the contractors, they're the ones that control the banks. And it's sad that everyone else has to suffer, or that some people out here are working minimum wage jobs and still can't make ends meet. I think it's also sad, though, is that because it's shown that we have lost our collective power as well. But I do think that this right here is going to start something new and bring power back to the people.
It was extraordinary. I've seen this on all the marches I've been on, including one up in New York last week. On this march that just was completed and ended here in McPherson Park, you had people, half of the four lanes were taken over by protesters, and the cars were coming the other way. You had people reaching out of the car, giving high fives to the protesters. What have you experienced as far as the reaction from folks on the street?
It's been great. I mean, people have been honking their horns. People on the street have been cheering for us. Of course, there's some people that don't like it, but for the most part, most people actually like what we're doing. We also see that the police aren't aggressive with us. Police, we have seen, they support us as well. Police have sometimes lit their lights and sometimes honked their horns for us. When the police come by, they say, hey, how you doing? Pretty nice and kind. I think that's a testament that even an institution that so many times is portrayed as aggressive, like the police force, or portrayed as destructive, there's still people in there too. These people are minimum wage workers as well. And I think that's what a lot of people have seen, that a lot of people who don't, a lot of us, what we call 99%, most of us who are working hard, trying to make a living, we're all suffering here. And this right here in Occupy DC is showing that we're united, that we work with everybody who is being mistreated by the system, mistreated by those who control the system. So it's great to see how many people just like to talk to us, honk their horns for us. I mean, even when I'm on my way to work, some people may recognize me and smile. Even some people out here, they've been talking about that as well. Every time they go places, people share for them, root for them, give them some money to give back to the cause. So it's really good. It's just good to show the solidarity, good to show how much support we have. It lets us know that, you know, we're doing the right thing.
Justin, how is this going to be kept going? The weather's nice now. The numbers have exploded. It's not going to remain nice for all that much longer. I think there's rain expected midweek. What are some of the steps that are taken to keep this going?
Some of that's just really preparation. We're trying to get some supplies in. We really do need some tarps right now so we could cover ourselves. Possibly, if we can, we could work it out with the police. We're going to try to maybe build some type of structure, some overhead, so people don't get wet. We also need sweaters as well and blankets as well to keep us warm and also to make sure we can stay dry. Probably umbrellas as well, probably need. I think pretty much if we just plan it the right way, especially with the help of the General Assembly, I think we can keep this going, even despite the rain. Considering the fact that the first day we started on Saturday was a cold, rainy day, and at nighttime it was 37 degrees, yet people have still stayed on since then. I don't think the rain's going to be too much of a deterrent.
Ralph Nader spoke earlier at Freedom Plaza. And one of the things he said was, you know, he'd been saying, you know, half the people got to show up or more, you know, to make democracy work. He said, but now he understood that it wasn't just showing up, it was staying that's so important. And that's what's happening here. I don't know if you have any comment about that.
I do think that people do have to show up, but people, like you said, people do have to stay. And I think that's what makes this so different. For too long, people have been protesting for just a day and then leaving, but nothing gets solved. No one knows what the issues are. They see a bunch of people in the street. But this is more than this. Every time people do protest, every time we do have a march, we come back here, have a meeting, we draw people in. So not only do people see the message we're bringing out, they get to come here, come to a community where people live together in peace, where we're getting things done, where we're very democratic. So it's kind of like the old phrase, show me and I'll forget, tell me and I'll forget, teach me and I may remember, involve me and I'll understand. So I think that by keeping this here, by staying here, by having a place where people know they can come to learn more about this, they can understand much better than ever before. And not just something that has glitz and glamour to it, a regular protest, but something you can come to at any time of the day, come here, see people, talk to people, everyday people, and learn and see firsthand how it is to build a new democratic society.
Any final thoughts you care to share?
Pretty much as I am the food person, I'm always concerned about needs. Go to the Twitter hashtag #OccupyDCNeeds to find out what we need. Also go to OccupyDC.org. That's the main website where you can find everything. Anything, any information you want to know about us, you can go there. And also, most importantly, we just need people to come down here. I mean, if you just come down to visit, or you can just come down and spend the night for the weekend, just come down here and see. I mean, it's much better than what people think. The mainstream media hasn't really been reporting on really goes on here. This really is a great place to stay, like, honestly. A great place to visit. Great people here. Everybody's kind. Everyone's good. So just come down.
Thanks for your time. I know you're one of the busiest men I've seen. When you step out away from this mic, there can be people grabbing for your time.
Yes, I know. I know. I have to. That's why I have to hear him get back now with the rest of the food committee. But
thanks so much, Justin.
Thank you.